This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We all know the Beatitudes. I want to capture the end of them and talk to you about a price worth paying. In Argentina, the first thing we ask when we get into a store and we like something is, ¿cuánto cuesta? How much does it cost? And if it's a price worth paying, you get it. Living for Christ is worth giving it all. Paying the greatest price. Living the greatest sacrifice. And Jesus is telling us in this chapter of Matthew, starting in verse 10, that blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I was thinking this morning as I came in and the pastor greeted the congregation and to the men said, Happy Father's Day. You know, my girls are 10,000 miles away today and I haven't been able to call them. But I was reminded of something that happened in 1974. Our ministry had started 2 years before, and it was Father's Day, and we were supposed to go to a theater to listen to my father preach. He was holding a crusade. We were living 200 miles away, and we drove to be part of that service, that Father's Day special day. We were waiting outside. He was in a hotel across the street praying. He came down, crossed the street, and when he was getting ready to go into the theater, my mom was leading worship, the police came and took him. And in the headquarters of the police, he was telling the sheriff, okay, why am I here? And the sheriff would say, well, you know, Cabrera, mine is a political job, so if I don't do this, I'll lose it. So just stay here and we'll have some mates, which is something typical of Argentina. You know, if you're cold, I'll get you a blanket and we'll just stay here. And he was held there until the service ended. That happened many times. That's why my mom was so involved in ministry. She could preach the word and everything, because a lot of times he would say, and now a man of God who has helped many receive a miracle from God, Reverend Omar Cabrera. And nothing would happen. We lived under a big persecution. My father's name was in newspapers all the time. And the Bible says, blessed are those that are persecuted. those that are falsely accused. I mean, they accused my father of belonging to the CIA when America was not wanted in Argentina during the military movement in 1970 through almost 82. And if they couldn't accuse him of that, they would say, well, he is teaching communist doctrine to the people that come to service. So that would appear in the newspapers. They would even say, today Reverend Cabrera is in jail. And it was not true. Once my brother said, no, my dad is not in jail. And the teacher said, stop lying to me. I read the paper today. He's in jail. And my brother said, no. I had breakfast with him before coming to school. I read the paper today. Don't lie to me. And he was put in detention. And the teacher made him write 500 times, I cannot lie to my teacher. I cannot lie. The whole class, you know, all three blackboards were full of, I cannot lie to my teacher. You know what? After that day, I don't think my brother liked this verse in scripture. Blessed are they that are persecuted and falsely accused. He didn't feel blessed at all. I don't know how you would have felt. In my high school, when they found out I was not a Catholic, as most of the Argentines are, one professor said, oh, you're an evangelical? Okay. I'm going to flunk you in my class. And I would study with the best student, and he would ask me in the tests, hey, this one, number 4. And he would get a 10, and I would get a 5 or a 3. And we would compare notes, you know, or exams. And why did I get a 3? You know, it's 1 to 10 on the scale in Argentina. Why did I get a 3 and he got the 10? Blessed are those that, We didn't feel that way. When they came with dogs to disperse the crowds, when they came with tear gases and guns with rubber bullets to our meetings and canceled them, we didn't feel blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I remember the last service we had in December of 74. We were supposed to partake of communion, and we had rolled newspaper in the floor ready. Because if they threw the tear gas, we would light up the paper to consume the tear gas for it not to affect the women and the children that were in church that day. Blessed are they. We didn't feel blessed. When a newspaper article accused my father of passing out drugs in our church, celebrating black masses, which involves some type of sacrifice of some animal, we didn't feel blessed. That's the scripture I read to my brother and my sisters. Tomorrow we're going to have to go to school. I was named after my father, so even during roll, you know, Omar Cabrera. It's like, Omar Cabrera? Wow. El mismo Omar Cabrera será? No. And I told them, tomorrow we might have to pay a big price. But we were willing to pay it. We were willing to pay the price to maintain, to stay faithful to Him, to do what God had called us to do, be a light in the midst of all that darkness. And I don't know what happened. It felt like we were going into the lion's den the next morning. We went to school, came back after, you know, after school, and I was asking my brother and my two sisters, what happened? Nothing. Nobody said a word. It was as if the newspaper article had been blocked and nobody read it. We were willing to pay the price, and God took care of those lions in the lion's den that day. For He is faithful. It says that if you're persecuted, there's a reward. The choir was singing about a reward. It says that the kingdom of God is yours. If you're willing to pay that price, you will have the kingdom of God with you. The kingdom of God will be behind you, backing you up every step of the way. It says that if you're insulted, persecuted, falsely accused, your reward will be great. Think about it. To be counted among those prophets of old that suffered for the cause, that were persecuted, that were rejected. If you're willing to pay the price, you will be counted among one of them. We see pressure in our society as we have never seen it before. In our country, the pressure is so great that now in the whole nation, they have accepted that men and men can marry and woman can marry. It's a pressure that we're feeling. Darkness is trying to suffocate us. They're now trying to legalize adoption in these types of marriages. Uniones civiles, they call them, civil unions. They're trying to adopt children. And you see that influence permeating society at large. A 15-year-old kid came to me and said, Pastor, all my classmates have as their goal making me fall and lose my virginity. And they told me, you're going to lose your virginity before you finish this course. Darkness is surrounding us. But we have a light that cannot be turned off. We have a hope. We have a faith that cannot be quenched. God in us, that hope of glory, even though pressures are greater and greater every day. I think of a man that came to Jesus, but who's not willing to pay that price? You see him in Mark chapter 10. He says that he came to the Lord and asked him, Lord, what can I do to inherit or to have eternal life? And Jesus answered, well, why do you call me good? Only God is good. There was the answer. If you're calling me good and that's it, you've lost it. But if you realize that I am God, you will have eternal life. He didn't get it, so the Lord kept on talking and said, you know the commandments. Don't do this, don't do that. Oh, I've done this since I was a little boy. And the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Can you imagine having a dialogue with the Lord and the Holy Spirit inspiring whoever is taking account of your dialogue with Him, stating, and Jesus loved you. He was accepted. The door was open. But unfortunately, he was not willing to pay the price. When Jesus told them, well, there's one thing left. There's something else that you are lacking. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take your cross and follow me. I'm sure he thought about it. Thought all he had to gain. Thought of all that he would lose. And in that balance, he said, okay, no. I don't want to pay the price. But it's a price worth paying. Living a life of commitment. Living a life totally surrendered to Him. Sacrificing yourself for others. It's worth any effort. And he left. Seems that he wanted it a lot, because he went weeping, it says. He was crying when he left. And disciples heard it, and even, you know, Jesus comments about it. Oh, how difficult it is for a rich man. What, Lord? Well, how difficult it is for those that trust in riches to come into the kingdom. And Peter, as usual, Lord, we left everything for you. I even left my mother-in-law, Lord, to follow you. I didn't like the fact that you healed her just then. But I left everything for you, Lord. And the Lord tells him, yes, yes, I tell you, there is no man that has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's that will receive 100-fold. The choir was singing about a reward. When you run the race, there's a reward. When you surrender, there's a reward. 100 times more. And if you think about it, on Father's Day, that we think of family, brothers, sisters, you may be alone in this life. But the moment you gave your life to Him, you got a great family surrounding you. Brothers, sisters, fathers, mentors that are there and can give into your life. You may have given some of your family away to follow Christ. Rejection. My father had to go through that. They were Roman Catholic, and when they accepted the Lord and my uncle was healed of cancer, the whole family rejected them. Never to speak to them again. Maybe you had to go through the same thing. But if you look around, I think there's more than 100-fold. More than 100-fold, brothers, sisters. If you give your life to Him, blessed are those that are willing to pay the price. For they will receive 100-fold. There's a little part in my Bible. I don't know if it's in yours. Because part of the package is also persecution. Nobody says amen right there, you know? I don't know what. But it's part of the package. You will receive an 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land, with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. You can grab a hold of the 100-fold, grab a hold of the eternal life, and let persecution hit you, and you will be victorious all the way. For He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are in His hand. There's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Let persecution come, because I'm holding on to His hand. I'm willing to pay the price. It even says the same thing in Romans chapter 8, that with him we have been made heirs, and the Holy Spirit has adopted us, and that's why we can call God Abba Father. I don't know if you told them Happy Father's Day today. And it says that we have been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There is a price to be paid. As I told you, my father paid a dear price. I remember times when they would have police in front of our church and we couldn't go in the driveway. I remember times when they would come and confiscate our sound system, our literature, our offerings. Times in which we would start in a place and the government would just stop it. Once he was in a field, in a soccer field. There were 17,000 people waiting for him to show up. They never let him get on the platform. They said, no, you have to stay in your hotel. You're confined to your room. So when the people saw that he wouldn't show up, they all walked 3 miles to the hotel. And people started shouting in the streets. So he opened the balcony door, you know, the big balcony doors he had, because, you know, it was all the way to the floor. And there was the crowd. And he raised his hands, and the crowd went, rah. He said, I felt like Perón, the president of Argentina, you know. And he talked about honoring those that persecute us, and talked about the fact that all authorities are placed by God, and prayed for the sick and blessed them. It was a 10-15 minute service. The cameras of television were there. They aired it an hour later on television, and the people thought it was live, and they came back again. So he had 2 services that night. Peter paid the price. The young ruler, rich young ruler, was not willing. If he would have known that by giving 1 fortune, he could have had 100. But he missed it. He was not willing to pay the price. Paul paid a dear price too. And he talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He tells us all that he had to pay to follow him. Of the Jews, 5 times received 40 stripes, but 1. 3 times was I beaten with the rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In travel, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city. In perils, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which comes daily upon me, the care of all the churches. Who's weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? He paid a great price. I don't know if it says it in the Bible, but this is my thought, my conclusion. The more you're willing to pay, the more God is willing to use you. Think of him. Think of Peter. They paid a great price. They were greatly used by God. And not only them, the whole primitive church. The devil comes to persecute. And he doesn't know that when persecution comes, there's going to be an army that'll face him. You think of the primitive church? Persecution came to Jerusalem. It went to Damascus. It went wherever they went. They had persecution. And the devil thought, okay, I will kill this church. And he was only forcing it to expand and go other place and another place and another, which is the same thing that happened to our ministry. 33 years ago, they closed us in Paraná. We couldn't preach the gospel anymore. After that first crusade and that first year, the mayor said, no, you have to pay us a religious tax. For every person that comes to your church, you have to pay us, I think it was $1 per person. And my father said, okay, I will. The day you can bite your elbow, that day I'll pay. And they closed us down and we had to leave. And we started meeting like the primitive church in the house of this family and that family. In the house of the Fontana family, my wife. I met her when I was 7. We used to hold meetings in her house. And we would look at each... Well, that's another... No, sorry. That is another sermon. Right, honey? And instead of having one place, we started having church all over town. And then they persecuted us even more. We had to go to other towns. Now the church is established in 141 cities of Argentina because of the persecution. Because we were willing to pay the price. And, you know, when everything was okay, people were in the outskirts wondering, yeah, I don't know. Should we get in? Should we not? But the day persecution came, oh, everybody wanted to defend the church. They had the t-shirt of Visión de Futuro on. Like I had the Argentina t-shirt last Friday. the World Cup, you know, 6-0, you know, that. Yeah, that one. And they were willing to defend their church anywhere and everywhere. Because of persecution. Even us as children, you know. My brother said, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to defend Dad. Because he was taken to court so many times. Accused of being a witch doctor. Or illicit use of medicine because of the healings we had in the Crusades. And he said, I'm going to be a lawyer. He was sold out to that idea that I'm going to defend Dad. We were all willing to pay that price. Just like the primitive church was willing to pay the price. And if you look at that chapter in Hebrews 11, it says how much they were willing to do, how much they were willing to pay. Those that through faith subdued kingdoms, who wrought righteousness, who obtained promises, who stopped the mouths of lions, who quenched the violence of fires, who escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. But others were tortured. Those that did not accept deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yeah, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Primitive church was willing to pay the price. Peter, Paul, paid that price. Are you willing to pay it as well? Are you willing to say, Lord, no matter what it costs, I will do it. I will follow you. There was a priest friend of ours who was filled with the Holy Ghost in one of our meetings. The Catholic Church started persecuting him, which is something that often happens with charismatic Catholics. The Church tries to stop them. And they sent him into the jungle of Paraguay, in the Chaco, Paraguayo. And he took a piece of paper and he wrote, Dear Jesus. Went to the last line of that page and said, Unconditionally, comma, Padre Luis Casiuto. And he signed it. And he said, Jesus, the page is empty. You fill it with whatever the price is. I am willing to pay the price. I am willing to give my life for the gospel. I am willing to do whatever it takes for your glory to shine. Use me. And there he died. He gave his life to those Indians, which are Toba Indians, by the way. He gave his life to them right there. Just like my mom and dad gave their lives. They lived it with such intensity for God that mom died at 56 and my father died at 63. But they were willing to pay the price. I am challenging you to consider your life. Darkness is all around us. And I'm calling you today to lift your eyes and look at Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. He's the origin and the end of our faith. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every hindrance, whatever is stopping us the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is God asking you? Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Is he asking of your time? Is he asking you of your family? Whatever it may be. My prayer is that today you say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. It's worth paying. Being used by you is the most wonderful thing that can happen to me. Being a light at work, being a light at school, Lord, a light to my neighborhood, I'm willing to pay the price. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to pray for you. Standing up means that you're willing to become a living sacrifice. Standing up means that you're putting your life on the altar. That you're going to run this race with patience. That you will run this race till you get to see him face to face. I don't know what God is asking you, but right now, right there, surrender it to him. Lord, unconditionally, I give it all to you. I give you my life. I give you my dreams. I give you my desires. I consecrate my family to you, even my abilities. I give it all to you. Say it in your words. You know what you have to surrender. Give it to him right now. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Oh, it's a price worth paying. Being an instrument in your hand, I'm willing to do it, Lord. Lord, use me to your glory. That everything I say and everything I do be pleasing unto you. Today, I follow the example of Peter, Paul, the primitive church, and I surrender at your feet. At the feet of the cross, I surrender those things that have stopped me from running the race, that have stopped me from obtaining victory, that have stopped me from being fully used by you. Lord, I want to be a channel of your blessings to others. Today, I take from my heart, from my mind, all that is stopping your flow to others. Accept my offering, Lord. I say, accept my life as a living sacrifice. And may I always live in the heart of your perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Pray in New York City that you give us the grace, Lord, to be willing to pay the price, that your name might be glorified. Beloved, as Brother Cabrera was speaking, the thought came to my heart, and this is it. We're living in a very, very dark time. Many, many people in our society have turned off religion a long time ago, and they're not willing. They'll not pick up a Bible. They're sick of the shallow preaching. They won't go anywhere near it anymore. One of God's last acts of great grace to them is to take you and me and put us in the fire before them. And that's the only way they will see God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, and it was an evil generation, a dark time, and the Lord took these three boys and put them in a fire. And there's no evidence in Scripture that they saw the fourth man in the fire. It was the wicked king. It was the rulership that had put them in the fire who saw the fourth man. The king looked and he saw a sustaining power in these young people who were in trial that he knew that nobody could deliver like these three were being delivered. And we don't like to think of the witness of God this way. We like to think, we'd just like to go to church and memorize a few scriptures and stand up and say a few things and have everybody bend their knee. But God's mercy will put you in the fire. We have one of our elders in this church right now who's in a great fire in the workplace, falsely accused, called up before leadership, threatened, all because he's living righteously for God. He's in the fire. And the man who's oppressing him is so angry at him. He says, he even said it in the last meeting, as far as I understand. He said, I'm doing this because you said that you're praying for me. Everybody in the room just bowed their head. They didn't know what to do. He says, I don't want you to tell me one more time that you're praying for me. This man was so angry that he was arranging to have him put under disciplinary action for a 2-week period. And the elder said to him, all right, then I'll pray for you, but I won't tell you that I'm praying for you. Now, this is happening right now. It's not all pie in the sky, easy Christianity for everybody that you see on this platform. Some of our elders have to go through some very deep waters for the stand that they're taking for Christ in this generation. And I know many of you are there, but can you understand that it's an act of God's grace to put you in a place where only He can keep you? And it's not all about you. It's about those who are going to hell without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you are the only Bible they're ever going to see. They're never going to read a physical Bible. They're going to read you. You are the Scriptures. You are the evidence of God's power. And there are young people here today. I know you're being persecuted in the classroom. It's so hard for those that are in high school. It's so hard for those who are going into intellectual environments in the university who scoff and scorn at anybody, as they say, stupid enough to believe in God, ignorant of their own future and their own peril. And it's hard to stand in that environment. They make you feel like they want to make you feel like you're an intellectual bore because you believe in a creator. And somebody who actually has the right to say this is right and that's wrong. But folks, it's not you who's on the losing end. It's them who's on the losing end. Because there is an end to these things. And they will stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God. And there is an eternity awaiting them. The only evidence they will ever see in their scorning condition is you standing in the midst of the fire. You put in subjection as it is to the mouths of lions. And as they see God shutting the mouths of the enemy so that they cannot devour you. That's the reality of it. You are not devoured. You stand by God's grace. I am willing to pay the price. I believe that in my heart. I think I can say that honestly before you today. I'm willing. I made the decision long ago. I made the decision on the police department when I had supervisors pointing their finger at me and threatening me and telling me they were going to get me and I was finished. My career was over, but I made the choice to take a stand for Jesus Christ in spite of what it cost. And because of it, I'm here today. Because of it, God's given a testimony into my life. Young people, you've got to make the choice. No one's going to make it for you. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, you've got to step out and say, I'm going with God. No matter what it costs me, I'm going with God. I'm going to stand for God. I do not have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He is the one who created this world. He is the God of all existence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like to give an altar call. I didn't plan on doing this, but it's just burning in my heart after hearing this message. In the education annex, here in this sanctuary, anybody, everybody who's going through the fire, or maybe you're just afraid of going through the fire. Maybe everything is kind of really nice right now, and you really don't want to rock your spiritual boat. But God's saying, no, you're going to have to step outside of this thing because I need to declare that I am alive to your office, your and I'm going to have to put you in the fire. Can I lead you there? Can you trust me for this? You think you have strength now. I'll give you 100 times more strength than you have right now. You give me what you have and I'll give you what I have, which is an endless life, an endless strength, more than 100-fold. It's a million times a million-fold that I will make available to you. But you and I have to make the decision. I'm going to step out and I'm not going to be ashamed. Even if it costs me my job. Even if there appears to be some things that are going to be taken away. Either I believe God or I don't. He says, I'm going to give you more than you had before. Either I believe that or I don't believe that. But today I choose to believe it. I am going to step out and I'm going to live for God. If that's you today, I want you to make a bold step and come to this altar because it's your first step of faith. It's a declaration. I've heard something from God and I'm going to go with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stand for Him in this generation. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it for the glory of His name. I'm calling also teachers and those nurses in hospital, those, you're just going to do what is right. It doesn't mean you have to stand on a desktop preaching the gospel. But you're going to start living right. You're going to speak right. You're going to speak His name as the Holy Spirit prompts you to do so. Don't let this generation deceive you. They can't take anything away from you. You have God in you. You have promise of eternal life. They can't take anything away from you. Hallelujah. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, I stand before you today. And I'm asking you to write the story of the rest of my life. Not according to my will, but according to your will. Write it in such a way that through me, through my life, you will be glorified. Other people who are hardened in sin will see that you are God. You are alive. You do hold the keys to death and to everlasting life. Use my life for your glory. I sign this day unconditionally yours. Now say your name. No, say your name. Unconditionally yours. It's very important to listen when somebody's leading you in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. With all my heart, I give you praise. God Almighty. Lord, you have ordained a testimony here at the crossroads of the world. And I ask you, Father, give us the courage and the conviction to pay the price for this great calling of God that is given by grace to each one of us. Help us not to back away, O God, when the enemy roars. Help us to stand our ground in the fiercest of storms. God, help us to learn to call out to your name and to let you come and empower us that others around us may see that you are God. Take us outside of our thinking about ourselves and our own comfort and our own futures and our own resources. Take us outside of these things. Bring us into a higher calling that we may see, O God, what your commission is for your church on this side of eternity. Help us to stand that, Jesus, you might be glorified in us in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this storm, O God, called this world. O God, I thank you with all of my heart that you will have a testimony. You are bringing to us these qualities these servants from all around the world to speak a testimony to us of your faithfulness as we prepare to go into our storms and as we stand in the midst of our adversity. My God, I pray, Lord, that you bring a shout of glory into New York City. I pray in the high schools there be a shout of glory. In the college campuses, there be a bending of the knee and a confessing with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I ask for Wall Street, oh God, that there be true men and women of God in the business world that will be moving among those whose lust is for gold, seeing those whose passion is for God. I pray, God, I pray, Lord, ordinary men and women become extraordinary in the power of their God. Jesus, send revival to New York City. God, do it in our generation. Let the glory of the Lord come into our streets. My God, my God, my God. Let the glory of the Lord come into the streets of this city. Satan, we resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand against you. We command you in Jesus' name, let the people go! Let them go! Let them go in Brooklyn! Let them go in Staten Island! Let them go in Queens! Let them go in the Bronx! Let them go in Manhattan! Satan, let them go! Let them go in Jesus' name! This city is not yours! It doesn't belong to you. We lay claim to it in the name of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand for God! Stand for God in this generation! God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We're not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. My God! My God, my God, empower your church. We're not giving this city. We're not giving this city to the powers of hell. There's 100 times more than enough people in the sanctuary to take this city for the glory of God. Stand. Stand for the glory of God. Stand for the honor of God. In your heart every morning, in your devotions, have this inner prayer. Let them go. Satan, let them go in my office, in my construction site, where I work, in my neighborhood. Let them go. Have this in your heart. Let them go. And let the pharaohs of this world laugh and let them mock and let them be entertained by your seeming lack of strength. But their knee will bow. Their tongue will confess. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.